Give the Lord a cheer. Praise you, Lord.
Glory unto you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
We praise you, Lord.
Praise you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord is worthy praise.
Amen.
The Lord is worthy our praise. I had a lady say to me the other night after the service. Some of you know this. I've said it before. But she came up to me after the service and she says, do you really think that people shouted and praised the Lord and all when Jesus taught? I said, you better believe I do.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You think you got a reason to shout now? Don't you think they were shouting when he said, Lazarus, come forth?
Amen.
Praise be to God. And I told her, I said, the only people who had a problem with it were the Pharisees.
Amen.
And they told us, disciples, to tell the people to shut up. What did Jesus say? He said, if they shut up, the very rocks will cry out.
Amen.
Well, there are all kinds of rocks out here. I'm one of them.
Amen.
I'm not the rock. Amen.
Amen.
I'm just a little rock. I'm just a little teeny, teeny sliver of rock. You know, Peter and the disciples were gathered around, and Jesus was kind of sitting there and looking around. He said, whom do men say that I am? One of them said, a teacher. Another said, a prophet. Peter was off in la-la land, you know, like some of these guys are sometimes. And all of a sudden, he just woke up. He said, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God.
Amen.
And Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonas, for neither flesh and blood hath revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And then he said a strange thing. I'm going to call your name Peter. Peter is a word from the Greek that means a little sliver of stone.
Amen.
Just a little piece of stone. And Jesus said that it's upon this rock, himself, and that revelation that God gave Peter, that he would build his church.
Amen.
See, we've been talking about crossing over the River Jordan. We've been talking about crossing over. What does it mean to cross over? Let me show you something. Lord just now showed it to me. Just now showed it to me to say. In the desert, the children of Israel, that first son, remember Moses went to Pharaoh, Steve, and said, Israel is my son, my firstborn. All right? And he was a type and shadow of Adam. He was also a type and shadow of this right here, this flesh. And he went out into the desert there with those children of Israel, and they watched God perform miracles. But they complained the whole time. They complained and they murmured and they whined and they cried and they griped. And you know, I see Christians all the time. God performs miracles all around them. And they can't see him. But that second son that went across into the promised land, they were God's miracles.
Amen.
In the desert, God performed the miracles for them to see. But on the other side of Jordan, they were God's miracles, and his power worked through them.
Amen. Amen.
See, God wants his power to work through you. Not me. I'm going to take as much as I can get. I'm like the kid that says, you know, daddy says, you want a candy bar? Yeah, how about two? Well, I only got four. That'll do. Can you get some more? I don't want one candy bar. I want as many as I can get. Now, you know, I don't share this with everybody, but years and years ago, in fact, it was back in 1972, the Lord told me a thing. He said, I'll give you anything you want. I'll make you a millionaire, give you all the money you want. Or I'll give you my power. And I thought about it for about that long. And what I thought was anybody can make money. Anybody with half a brain can make money. But I didn't see too many people out there raising the dead.
Amen.
And I said, that's what I want. I want your power. And you know, he has been true to his word.
Amen.
Why? Because I'm good? No, I've told you over and over and over again, haven't I, Ricky Ball? If you come out here to see or hear a good preacher, go home. You ain't going to find one here. If you're going to come here to find a righteous, holy man, go home. You're not going to find one here. But if you've come to find somebody who knows who Jesus is, stick around.
Amen.
Because I know him. And I know that he knows me, and I know that he knows you. And if I was so holy, and if I was so righteous, and if I was so perfect, I wouldn't need Jesus. And a lot of people out here try to impress God, but you know what? God's not impressed.
Amen.
He's not impressed. The only thing that impresses God is himself and what Jesus did. And if you want to impress God, then just accept Jesus Christ and walk in him. God wants you over on the other side of River Jordan, Steve. He wants you over there walking in his power so he can display himself through you. When Paul went to Corinth, and he wrote that little letter to the Corinthians, remember? He said, when I came, my speech was what? Not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Right? But with what? In demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not stand on the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. The church has been looking at it wrong. The church, you know, Wicky Baldwin wants to be a minister, so he goes up and he says, I want to be a minister. They say, okay, you got to go to school. You got to go to school and learn all these wise things so you can preach. So he goes to school, learns all these wise things to preach. And he comes out and he tries to convince people with words that Jesus is the Christ. Well, he finds out he doesn't have enough words, so he goes back and learns some more words. Pretty soon, he's got a PhD after his name, and he's running around calling himself Dr. Baldwin. You ever see anybody going out of one of these outhouses and step in toilet paper and walk out, you know, and it just rings out right behind them? And you want to laugh at them? But you don't, because you don't want to embarrass them too much, and they just walk around with that on their heel. That's what some of these preachers remind me of. They got so many degrees, and they don't know anything. They really don't know anything. Because unless you know Jesus, then you don't know anything. You can have all the wisdom of the world. You can have all knowledge. And if you don't know Jesus, you know what? You don't know anything.
Amen.
But Jesus Christ wants you to know him and then will tell you how you know him. There are people out here today starving for Jesus. But they don't know it. And when preachers come and Christians come and try to witness to them, they don't believe it. Why? Why? Because the Christians don't have the power to show them. You know, anybody can tell you what to do. Amen? Isn't that right, Miss B? See, I can stand up here and say, now, Miss B, you got to wear your hair a certain way. You got to pray a certain way. You got to dress a certain way. And you got to do this a certain way. I've been to churches, man. I remember one church I went to, they were trying to get the Holy Ghost. It was scary, Steve. They had this big fat woman on the bass drum. She was beating that bass drum. And some poor guy wanted to get the Holy Ghost. So they got him up front. And they started praying for him. And they got that big fat woman off the bass drum and she started beating on him. I got news for you. If a big fat woman like that was beating on me, I'd say anything she told me to say. And there was another guy standing right by him, and he was thanking God that she wasn't on him. And he was beating on this guy and saying, say praise the Lord. He praised the Lord. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say glory, 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 glory. Say it faster, it faster. It was pathetic. They beat on that poor guy for about 20, 30, 40 minutes. He was wore out. Plum wore out. Y'all think I'm kidding. I know this is funny. I thought it was pitiful at the time I looked back on it. It is funny. But it's sad because the churches have tried to develop formulas to get God to move. Formulas. Well, that's what the charlatans did, see? The charlatan used formulas. Trickery. Jesus walked up there and he said, Lord, if you want to, you heal me. I want to, you're healed.
Amen.
And that was it. That was it. Miss B sat outside the camp the other day. And she was telling me, I said, what's wrong with your leg? She told me what's wrong with her. I reached down. Okay. Tell me how it is now. How is it? See? That's Jesus.
Amen.
It's no work on my part. It's no work on my part. But you see, I know a man down in South Carolina. Met him on the radio. I think I ought to finish the other story or keep going. I'll keep going and get back to the other story. I knew a man down in South Carolina thought he was going to hell because he stopped going to church. And I argued with this guy and argued with this guy. And he said, well, you know, I'm going to hell because this is what it says in Hebrews chapter 6. And I went through and read it to him. I said, have you done all this stuff? Have you raised the dead? Have you cast out devils? Have you been in heaven and seen things that are too wonderful to speak? No. Then what makes you think you qualify? You put too much on yourself. I said, you haven't even got to this part, let alone to that part. And I said, how do you know that God has been protecting you? You know, sometimes you have to leave a church to find God.
Man.
Well, that makes some preachers mad on that one. Sometimes you've got to get out of church to find God.
Amen.
And this man, I dealt with him and dealt with him and dealt with him. You talk about stubborn. I've met some stubborn people. This guy was more stubborn than my first wife. You could tell a telephone pole to get out of the way, and it moved before she would. Ooh, I said that terrible thing. My first wife. Mm-hmm. Oh, I forgot, you know. God can't save people who are divorced.
Wrong.
Isn't that taught by some of these churches? I know churches that if you're divorced, you can go in that church, and you can give your money all day long, but they won't let you join it. In that hypocrisy.
Amen.
Your money's good enough, but you're not. Well, I got news for you. God doesn't care if you're divorced before you know Him.
Amen.
What difference does it make? You're going to hell anyway. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. I don't care if you've never been married once, or been married 100 times. It doesn't matter.
Amen.
If you don't know Jesus, you're going to hell. I didn't know Jesus when I got married. But He knew me. And when I came to the Lord, I wanted to follow the Lord. She wanted to do something else. Bye-bye. What's it to me? Amen?
Amen.
So in the meantime, this guy, he was talking about how he couldn't be saved. And I just got frustrated with this guy. And I said, okay, what's it going to take to teach you that Jesus loves you? Now, you want to talk about a witnessing tool? Let me show you one. I said, what's it going to take for Jesus to show you He loves you? He said, I don't know. I said, how about a full-blown heart attack? How about a heart attack that grabs you and throws you down, sticks you in that intensive care unit, and you're that close to death? And then a miraculous healing. Would that do it? Well, I don't know, it might. I said, all right, so be it. In the name of Jesus. I said, here's the number I'll be at when you need me. And I left and went to Florida. That was the weekend just before Thanksgiving, 3 years ago. I went to spend Thanksgiving with my mother on Thanksgiving Day. I got a call from his wife. Guess where he was? In the hospital with a massive heart attack. Not expected to live through the night. And I said, can he talk? She said, yeah. I said, put him on. I said, are you? And he came on the line. I said, are you scared? Uh-huh. Want to go to hell? No. I said, you ready to believe Jesus now? He said, yes. I said, then you're healed in Jesus' name. And God healed that man.
Amen.
Completely.
Amen.
Completely. And a year later, when they tested this guy out, guess what? The doctor walks in and he says, I'll just show you, this guy's stubborn. I mean, some people are stubborn. A year later, he comes back to the doctor, and the doctor walks in with all the tests. He says, well, you're normal. And he says, what do you mean normal? Well, you're normal. You mean normal for a man in my condition? He said, no, I mean normal. We can't tell you've ever had a heart attack.
Amen.
Ever. And that's when he began to wake up. Some people are a little slow. Just a little bit. But God healed that man. When you walk in the anointing of Jesus Christ, and it's the anointing of Jesus Christ is really neat because it's Him. The anointing of Jesus Christ is putting on Jesus. You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
It's putting on Jesus. So that when you decrease, when you stop taking yourself so seriously and start taking Him seriously, He can move through you and on you, and you can just walk up to somebody and just put your hand on them like this and take away problems.
Amen.
Through the power of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You're welcome. Some of those problems are going to disappear. You had a stroke? What happened to you? Nothing? Did you ever have a stroke or anything? Praise God. How old are you?
94.
Say that.
95.
Give the Lord a cheer. Ninety-five years young. Amen. Is this your mother? Your caregiver. Okay. Well, you're doing pretty good. So is King Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. When you can go up and share Jesus Christ and then demonstrate Jesus Christ and His love for people, then their faith is not based on what you say. Their faith will be based on what Jesus Christ did.
Amen.
Based on the power of God. And then guess what? Their eyes won't be on you, they'll be on Jesus.
Amen.
See, if you put your eyes on me, I'm liable to do something stupid. I'm liable to say something dumb. And then you'll say, ooh, look at him. He's just like me. That's right. I'm just like you. Give me 5 minutes alone without Jesus and I'll find more ways to get in trouble than my grandson back there. So you're not supposed to say that. Do you know that, Jeannie? They tell you in preacher school, don't tell people you're not perfect. But see, I figure the more I tell people I'm not perfect, then the sooner or later it's going to sink in that I'm telling the truth and Jesus is.
Amen.
And if He loves me, then He loves you. And I'm here, I'm God. Tonight I'm going to be God's divine weed eater.
Amen.
I'm going to be a weed eater tonight.
Amen.
A lot of Christians are being choked out by weeds. And they can't produce fruit because of the weeds.
Amen.
So I want to cut some weeds today so that you can go out and produce fruit.
Amen.
And hand that fruit to the Lord and say, here, Lord, this is because I love you.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
I don't know what all I'm going to say tonight, and I don't know what all I'm going to do tonight. I know if the Lord permits, we're going to anoint a couple people here tonight for the ministry.
Amen.
Some people say, well, now you know, Brother Usler, when people first come to the Lord, you got to make them sit around and listen to you for 3 or 4 years before you can put them in the ministry. Well, I don't know. Jesus said, Peter, get out of that boat and follow me. You're my minister.
Amen.
And he started teaching him and using him right away.
Amen.
You know, I think it's a crime when a person accepts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, is full of the joy of the Lord, and then they wait till they send them to some cemetery to die before they can witness and do God's work. I mean, you want to get them while they're fresh. You want to get them while they're alive and put them out there.
Amen.
And those are the people God uses.
Amen.
And keep them moving. Keep them. You put them in some of these places, they'll grow up weeds all around them and they won't do anything. Amen. Sing me.
Praise.
Amen.
Glory.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Build your faith on Jesus' word.
Amen.
Not my word. Not the word out here in the world, but Jesus' word, the word of God. Build your faith on that and nothing can shake it.
Amen.
Nothing can shake it. There's too many people today that believe in Jesus that don't know what it means to believe on Jesus. You know, the Bible says if you believe, Jesus saying, basically, if you believe on Him, then the works that He did you will do.
Amen.
To believe on Jesus is not the same as to believe in Jesus. See, some of you came here tonight, some of you came here earlier in the week because you heard there was this crazy preacher down there at the tent and he looked funny and he had false teeth and he walked around and said stupid things. And you believed that. Well, I'm not supposed to say I got false teeth. It's not truth. Why lie about it? Lost my teeth because of sin.
Amen.
Didn't like it. Ain't happy about it. God gave me some new ones. If I'd been around when God created the heavens and the earth, I'd have given him a little advice. I'd have said, Lord, you know you ought not create us with two pair. You ought to create us with three. I said, how come you create the sharks with all them teeth, Lord? They got all them teeth. Man, they go and bite somebody, they fall out, they grow new ones. How come you give them all them teeth, you don't give us any? He says, because I gave you enough sense to brush yours. Got quiet on that one. He gives us enough sense to do something right. And if we don't do it, what do? We do the only logical thing. We blame him. Oh, it's getting quieter. Don't we?
Yeah.
We blame him. And yet God doesn't want us to blame him. He wants us to know that, you know, we don't have to go through the things we go through. We don't have to. We have to believe him, and if we believe on him, which it is, to believe on him is to believe him, he'll deliver us from all that stuff.
Amen.
I just waited too long. Praise God. Carrie, let me pick on you. I've been picking on Carrie all week. She hadn't been here, so tonight she's here, I'm going to pick on her. Come on up here, honey. This is my girl I told you about that when it was a real dreary day and it was cloudy and overcast. Remember that, Carrie? I said, Carrie, is the sun up there? She said, no. Am I going to eat at your house this week?
I don't know.
Yeah, I love you, don't I? Yeah. You love me too, huh?
Yeah.
Say something for Jesus, honey.
Yeah, well, I didn't think the sun was out. But if you have Jesus in your life, the sun's always out.
Amen.
Short and sweet, man. I tell you, if I put you up here and let you preach, they'd be in and out before we could do anything, huh? Praise God. I want to do something here. Jim, come up here and say something for Jesus. This is my son-in-law. First day I met him, he come over to the house. He wants to marry Carrie. So over my dead body. You didn't know that? Huh? You're his niece. You didn't know that, did you? Oh yeah, he had earrings, long hair, weird. He wasn't as red then as he is now. Amen. But you know, when Jesus got a hold of him and changed him, I didn't recognize him.
Amen.
Go ahead and say something.
Instead of it being over Brother Richard's dead body, it was over my dead body. I laid my old self to rest and came up in the new life with Jesus Christ. And I've been going forward in that life, and I've watched other people that have come out and gone forward in it. And all I can say is it's a wonderful life. There's no life like there is life in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And you know, Jim, let me keep you up here. You know, I don't do this very often. And Jim didn't know I was going to call on him. Did you? So I like to do this every now and then, pick on them. You and Carrie wanted to have children, didn't you? And you tried too, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
It couldn't happen.
No, sir.
went to the doctor and did all this kind of stuff. Carrie come to me. She's crying and all upset because she couldn't have children. I said, honey, all God wants you to know is that he loves you. And I said, you put your face and your heart on Jesus Christ to serve him and to serve your husband. God will take care of the rest.
Amen.
And you know, when she did it, what happened?
And we had a child.
You got two of them. Amen. Give the Lord a cheer.
Amen. Praise you, Jesus.
See, the Lord was smart. He waited till Carrie had gone to the doctor and found out that there was no way she could have children. And when they tried everything possible, and she finally gave up and realized that she couldn't have children, then God says, let me show you how much I love you.
Amen.
Now you're going to have children. And see, God wasn't being mean to Carrie. He just wanted her to know his love. Just like he wants us to know his love and his power and his anointing. Because God is love.
Amen.
And he doesn't want anyone to perish. Anyone. So he does all in his power besides going against your will to bring you to that place to look for him, like Scott Stevens. Where are you? There you are. Scott got up there on the radio today. Ooh, anybody hear him on the radio today? Mm-mm-mm. That was something. What a testimony. But God, you know, 7 years ago, I told Scott he was going to come to the Lord and be a part of this ministry. He laughed at me. He thought I was crazy. Well, I am crazy, but I just happen to be crazy and right.
Amen.
Amen. Because that's what the Lord showed me, and I knew I've learned to trust the Lord.
Amen.
See, trusting the Lord is a simple thing. You don't do it with your feelings. You do it with the Word. You don't do it with your feelings. I'm going to pick on Gail tonight. Come on up here, Gail. This is the last night. See, I'm leaving town tomorrow, so I can do anything I want.
Quiet. I didn't think you noticed me.
I noticed everything. Are you nervous?
Yeah.
Good. Praise God. You know what does when you get nervous up here?
No.
You learn to die.
Well, I'm dying all right.
Praise God. She came up the other day, and she was saying, oh, the joy is, she's had all this joy, and there's so cloudy. I said, is the sun up? Hmm?
Well,
is that right?
You told me the sun is up there, but it's still cloudy in here. But I'll believe the sun is up there. I'm not Lucy.
Amen. Because, you know, God, you know, I told her this. You know, she's got some chickens on her land. Everybody here knows what a chicken is, right? Well, sometimes I've been to places where they don't know what a chicken is. They think it's something that comes in a box with a funny-looking man on it with a beard. That's about all they know about chicken. I've been to some weird places. And she's got these chickens running around. I said, now let me ask you a question, Gail. If you had an egg with a chicken in it, what good would that chicken be? It's too small to take out and fry. There ain't nothing to eat, right?
That's right.
And it can't lay eggs because it's in the egg, right?
That's right.
It can't even eat bugs. It's good for nothing. Isn't that right?
That's right.
I said, it's time to come out of the shell, chicken. Isn't that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Another pin feather. Give her a cheer. She's going to be telling her husband, that preacher. No, she'll probably tell me after the service. You know, when you're in that shell, you're good for nothing. You're really good for nothing. When you first come to Jesus Christ, He does. He puts you in a shell. And that shell is to protect you until you get to a certain stage. And then He says, okay, it's time to come out of that shell and start walking by faith. You see, we know how to walk by our feelings. You see, when you feel something, you respond. If you feel good, you respond toward it. If you feel bad, you respond away from it. You know, it's like that fire. You put your hand over that fire for a minute, and you're not going to feel good. And there's these nerve endings in your hand that's going to say, move now! Isn't that right? Or if Ricky Baldwin were to stand on your foot, and you had an ingrown toenail, that toe is going to talk loud to your brain and tell you to get out of there. And with everything you've got, you're going to leave.
Amen. You're smart anyway.
But see, we don't operate in the physical kingdom when we're Christians. God wants us to learn to operate in a spiritual kingdom. And in order to do that, we have to learn to rely on Him.
Amen.
And that we have to judge all things spiritual by His Word. Peter said something that was real interesting over in one of his letters. He was talking about the time that he saw Jesus, Elijah, and Moses transfigured up on the mount. And he saw this glorious transfiguration. And he said he come down, he was really excited and all happy about it. But he said, but I want you to know there's something better than that.
Amen.
And there's something more sure than that. And it's the Word of God.
Amen.
You know, we got religions out here where people believe some angel came down and gave some stupid tablets to somebody, and he put on Coke bottle glasses made of all different colors and read these tablets, and they bought that garbage. They didn't even see it. They just took his word for it. Isn't that right? They believed that stuff. And then he gives prophecies, and they never come to pass. Every one he ever gave, none of them came to pass. And the guy that followed him, all of his flunked. And yet there's a religion out there that's millions of people strong because they based their whole religion on a vision. Peter said, visions are fine. But if it doesn't agree with this, get rid of it.
Amen.
Get rid of it. There are a lot of Christians out here today basing their religion on feelings. And their feelings have led them astray. I had a preacher come up to me one day and say, you know what, preacher, I know you're not of God. I said, really? How's that? Because you don't make me feel good. Well, at the time, I was kind of telling him some stuff he needed to know. Were you around back then when that guy called me on the phone, wanted me to come down to Massachusetts and be examined by his church? Most ridiculous thing I ever heard of. Come down here and be examined by us. I said, I ain't going down there and be examined by you. What do I care what you believe? You can go out and pluck chickens and eat them. I don't care. That's between you and God. I've got nothing to do with you. I say, if you want to know about me, you come up here, sit in one of my Bible studies or sit in one of my services, and I'll sit down and answer any question you want. But I'm not coming down there to sit under you. You don't make me feel good. I don't feel love from you. I'm not getting the witness, the tingle, tingle. I said, you want tingle, tingle, go out and get your prostitute. She'll make you tingle, tingle. And then you can come back and tell me that's of the Holy Ghost. He didn't like me too much. Amen.
Amen.
You know, preacher, you're not supposed to talk like this in church. Somebody's got to.
Amen.
Somebody's got to tell the truth. Some of the best tingles I ever had, I wasn't supposed to be getting them. And I can guarantee you, Ricky Baldwin, it wasn't the Lord behind it.
Amen.
God's forgiven me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I remember when I first come to the Lord, first tingle I got, I was scared. I looked around to see where she was. I was so scared. Praise God. If you love Him, say praise God.
Praise God.
But Jesus Christ taught me to walk by faith, and faith in the Word of God.
Amen.
And if there's anything I can teach you, if there's anything that you will get out of these services, I want you to get three things. Number one, take Jesus serious.
Amen.
Number two, don't take yourself serious.
Amen.
Amen. And number three, believe His Word.
Amen.
And if it says, you know, I had a guy ask me one day, you're a fanatic on the Word. Yes, sir, I am. Thank you very much. You mean you're not offended by the word fanatic? Not at all. It just simply means I believe in more than you do.